A lot of the music we've listened to on Metro Morning this week has come from musicians who are going to be performing at the Art of Jazz celebration taking place at the Distillery District this weekend. And it occurred to me, although I've been there many times myself, that I would bet that 90% of Torontonians have never walked into this incredible quarter. It is really not only one of the most historic places in Toronto, but one of the most brilliantly restored and maintained places in Toronto. And for those of you who've never been there, who might for the first time be walking its cobblestones this weekend, we thought we would tell you what to look for. We're going to do that looking through a book called Toronto's Distillery District, History by the Lake, and Sally Gibson is the historian who's written it. Dr. Gibson, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us. First of all, you know, we're talking about General Motors and how key it is to our economy these days. I'm not sure you could say that Gooderham and Wart's Distillery was quite General Motors, but it came as close in the early days of Toronto as any single business could in terms of dominating the city's marketplace. Tell us about that.
That's true. And it did more than dominate the city of Toronto's marketplace. Their specialty, of course, was whiskey. And they grew into the largest distillery in the British Empire, and indeed in the 1870s.
In the world.
In the world.
Yeah.
So it was founded by two immigrants from England in the 1830s. They started distilling in the 1837, and they took off. And so by the 1860s, they built the big gray building that I think people notice either from the Distillery District itself or driving along the lakeshore and the Gardner. And when they built that, it was right on the water's edge. And it could, from then on, they could produce up to 2 million gallons of whiskey per year. That's about 40 to 50,000 barrels, because they had to put it in barrels at the time.
Just the stuff in the book about the barrels.
Yes.
And making of barrels. And the people who made barrels were called coopers. And if your name is Cooper, someone in your history made barrels. But I digress.
Oh, well, but it's a book full of potential digressions, all linked to the various aspects of the history of the distillery. I mean, we have a mayor whose name is Miller. The Gooderham & Wart started out as a grist mill.
And let's talk about the grist mill, by the way, the windmill that drove the grist mill in the very beginning. Because you tell us, and I never noticed this as many times as I've walked through the Distillery District, there's an outline of bricks, a circular outline, which shows you exactly where that first windmill would have been. And for people who know about the wind turbine over by the CNE, you could draw a direct line. It's called
exactly.
The windmill line, you tell us, between that windmill, the turbine, and, well, tell us about that first windmill.
Right. The first windmill was built because Gooderham and Wirtz were from a part of England where there were a lot of windmills. I must admit that I never knew that there were windmills in England and was stunned to see a windmill in pictures of Toronto. So they came with the idea of building the windmill. It was a huge building. It was 70 feet tall, 105,000 bricks in the tower, and then it went up higher than that. So if you stand just north of the gray building, again, on the distillery site, and you look up and see how tall the gray building is, well, that windmill was actually, with its wings, about the same height.
Unfortunately, there just wasn't very much wind.
That was the problem. There was either too much or too little, and that's something we noticed the other weekend with doors open down at the Distillery District, and we had several thousand people, and there was loads of wind. So very soon after building the windmill, they added one of the earliest steam engines in Toronto, and a year later that took over. And the plant was operated by steam for the rest of its life.
Mm. So much I want to talk about here.
That's good.
Can you explain the incredibly, I think, impressive and progressive corporate attitudes which allowed these buildings to survive so long?
Yeah, I'd be glad to. Their future was in serious doubt when the Gooderham and Wirtz distillery finally shut down in 1990. And around that time, heritage advocates had a push to have the site made a National Historic Site. But for another 10 years, it was in great doubt. And then the Cityscape folks came along, and they had the idea of marrying two concepts. One is adaptive reuse, which is finding new uses for old buildings that are sensitive to the heritage.
Yeah, art galleries, places that sell HDTVs. I mean, this is really kind
exactly.
of interesting.
And the other side of it was the, it's called culture-led revitalization. And so they were looking specifically to the artists and the cultural entities in Toronto. So one of the early agreements was with Artscape, and that's in the Case Goods warehouse. Another agreement was with Soul Pepper and the George Brown Theater, and that led to the creation of the theater.
I can't urge people who have never been to the district enough to get down there. There's, by the way, great food to be eaten, fabulous gelato to be licked, terrific artists to be seen. It's at the foot of Parliament Street, of course, that you go down to Parliament Street, and then you turn left on Mill Street. Remember Mr. Miller and his provenance, and just walk around and knock yourselves out. I don't know. I want to throw in one little thing for me that I knew nothing about is that for a little while, the distillery turned out more antifreeze than it did liquor.
Yeah.
Explain.
That was essentially after the end of Prohibition in Canada. And also after the First War, when the plant had been used for war cordite to make smokeless gunpowder. So the car was coming along, and they had an industrial alcohol operation. So it was called Hot Shot antifreeze, and they did other antifreezes
really
as well.
Really big deal.
And we've got some tins from that era and a photograph in the book.
The book is gorgeous, by the way. Congratulations. Fabulous photographs, copies of paintings from the 19th century Toronto's Distillery District history by the late Sally Gibson. We remind you that the Distillery District is where the Art of Jazz celebration is taking place this week, and 99.1 CBC Radio is a proud sponsor of the music festival. And I guess you could get the book at the Distillery District. I bet there are a few for sale.
Yes, there's some for sale there, and it's making its way into bookstores, so go to your favorite bookstore if you don't get down to the Distillery District soon and ask for it.
It's gorgeous. Congratulations.
Thank you.